Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
347-637-3942. 347-637-3942. Welcome again to the American Allegiance Show. Yes, we're back again. It's been a long week, but we made it. Everybody's okay? Hope they are. The Patriot Nation Radio Network somehow trusts me with a show of my own, so I got to do good. I can make sure that things run right, and I have good guests. And tonight I do have good guests, great guests. Tonight we welcome, as you saw in the promo, you know those promos are not easy to make. If you get a chance to see those, it's pretty awesome, I have to say. I got that from book covers that I make and other things. Content. Anyway, tonight, author Ronald F. Owens Jr. and Pastor Ronson Hall, we're going to talk about current events on our show tonight. I'm going to bring them on. And both of you, my friends here, all three of us, Oreo friends, the Oreo collection, welcome to the show, the American Allegiance Show. We're happy to have you on tonight. It's not like there's more than one of me here, right? Except for my producer. So I welcome you to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you, gentlemen and scholars, and I mean that, not just in the rhetorical sense.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Kevin White.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
And also thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and thank you also, Pastor Hall, for joining us.
Yes, sir.
So I had you guys on my as a pair on my messages, and you guys are called the Righteous Brothers. So
I like that.
The other Righteous Brothers.
I love. So the only difference, Kevin and Ronald, would be that I don't think we've lost that love and feeling. I think we still love each other.
Right. That's pretty good. I like that. That's pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, besides, Robert and I, we talked a few weeks ago. We talked about the food shortages and everything, and now things are even hotter because you can see. I mean, there's a record number of cattle and crops being destroyed systematically, to the point where you better have a garden or something, or some animal, or I don't know, in the future. This looks pretty bleak. Somebody was saying 8 months from now, we may not have any meat or any other crops once you go through this winter. So just something to think about. It's getting scary.
Wow.
So not every cow has the same disease at the same time. It doesn't take out the entire, cattle herds and all that. So, but North Dakota's fighting back. They're not going to let Gates buy any land because they know what he's doing. So,
yeah.
It's just interesting news. The other news, I'm going to bring this truck they found. I don't know, was that in Texas? Does anybody know?
Are you talking where the folks were in the back of the semi? And up? Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, brothers Kevin and Ronald, not only was that in Texas. That truck ended up in where I'm living, right? It's San Antonio. They, this is San Antonio, Texas has turned into the illegal alien dumping capital of the United States.
Oh,
now, when they
man.
Come across the border, they bring trucks and those kind of things, and invariably, not to say they don't do it anywhere, but the last two or three incidents have been in San Antonio. And so, yeah, that happened in San Antonio. Last count, the last dreadful morbid count was 52 of those folks, bless their hearts, are dead. And 16 to 20 are still in the hospital, and they're still working on them.
Oh, that's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
So this is brought to you by, you know, a policy of opening, keeping the border open for whatever reason. I don't know whether it be labor or trafficking or anything like that, but this is a real problem, and these are the consequences. And, you know, that policy is at the hands of the person who made that policy, who made that choice to allow people to come over illegally. And, you know, it doesn't happen in other countries. Try to go to Mexico or any other country, cross the border.
Right.
And they're handicapped at the border because they use National Guard people. They're not trained for that. That's not their job.
Right.
That's the Band-Aid they use for everything, National Guard, hospitals, things like that. But I don't know. So San Antonio, so that's not good for San Antonio at all. I mean, that's
at all.
You know, unless they give them
at
money.
All. Yeah, no, at all. And I can tell you right now, having lived here since 1969 and been here, people are appalled, generally appalled, but the folks who are in town on the left, and this has turned into kind of a leftist town, but they're appalled as well, but they dare not say too much. They dare not say anything because what you just mentioned, Kevin, at the outset is as plain as a nose on your face. It is the present demonic policies that has allowed this to happen, It has emboldened those coyotes. You know, they're called coyotes, those guys who would gather people for money's sake. You know, they from what I understand, the average price for a person is like around $1,500 and up. And they get paid that money. They pay the coyotes that money. And in exchange, they get to get piled in the back of a cattle truck or 18-wheeler or a panel van and driven across the border, sometimes with a little bit of water or supply, sometimes with nothing. And so, no, I'm telling you right now, the folks in San Antonio are livid, but a lot of them dare not say a thing because the optics are horrible.
Absolutely. What, Ronald, what about California? You guys get any? I know you get those every day. You get them all the time.
You know, I can't speak about the specifics that Pastor just spoke about. I just was thinking about how would it be for, I mean, we've all been in a steam room before. Just think if you just cram in the back of a truck trailer, and you can't breathe, and you can't, and there's just all the heat and the suffocation. That's pretty horrific. I'm just thinking about how that would feel like to all those people, and pray for the people that are still in the hospital recovering from that.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing how, I mean, these are human beings. They're not cattle, but they're treating like that. And I heard yesterday another program, another network, that a lot of these coyotes are tied to these child trafficking people that are tied to U.S. companies. And one of the companies they say is BlackRock. So there's a lot of money. BlackRock is the big, the great evil financial empire. So. Well, that's what they say. So we don't have a country anymore, pretty much, when you have the borders open. There's a lot of things come through, a lot of viruses, a lot of sicknesses. And I wouldn't be surprised if we had sources of pandemics from other countries. And the funny thing is, most of the people aren't from Mexico. They're from different countries that profit from sending them their people here. Through back channels, so they're working together, and it's working for them. And I think President Trump put a stop to that at one time, threatening those countries. If you give money, if you promote people to come here and you make money off of it, and he cut all the funding off completely. And so things started drying up. But this is not the case now. It's wide open. It's a huge problem. So
it is.
Let's switch gears. Unless you have something else to say. You have anything else to say about that?
No, I think you've covered it. It's horrific. You know, it's one of those things, brothers, that gentlemen, that you look at and you, once you said this, it's so horrific. You know, it's not directly comparable to what happened in Uvalde a few weeks ago with the children.
Right.
But it's not directly comparable to it. But in a sense, you look at that, and once you've discovered the horror and detailed the horror as best you can, you look at it, and after a few minutes, what else is there to say? You know, it's horrible. It's horrid.
You know, I was thinking about how cheap human life is, from the coyotes trafficking human beings, cramming them in trucks and step vans, to basically the wholesale slaughter unborn babies. It's just like people, a lot of evil people, they just don't value life. Actually, they do value life. They're trying to enrich themselves from it, you know.
Yes.
But it's somebody else's life. It's someone else's kids. It's
yes.
It's always somebody else
yeah.
that they're profiting from. So in one way, yes, they don't value life, but yet they do value life, because we see it in the human trafficking. We see it in the abortion industry. Can I make mention
right.
of something that you started off, Kevin? I was doing a little research when you were talking about Bill Gates. And if you can elaborate on that point after I report what Forbes reported last year. You guys know that Bill Gates is the fourth richest man in the world. Mm-hmm. And here you have this guy who believes in population control, and he has become America's top private farmland owner in America. He snatched up 242,000 acres of farmland across the United States. And this is what Forbes reported last year. So when you have
Whoa.
A guy who believes in population control, snatching up 242,000 acres of farmland, that's rather concerning.
You're
I would
right.
say so.
You're very, very concerning, because he actually, okay, if you put together, he doesn't want meat anymore for people to have meat. He wants synthetic meat, right? And he happens to have synthetic meat farms. And so
mm-hmm.
if you put it together, people start to wonder, is this something he's doing? Because, you know, because he is with the people, where is that?
People
in Europe that are doing this New World Order thing. He is one of those people. And his father was
New World Order Club. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the World Economic Forum. That's who it is. He's
yeah.
one of the graduates uh-huh. from their leadership school with Angela Merkel, who was in that class too. So was the Premier of Canada. So this is something where you see the meat disappearing, but he has a solution. The baby formula disappearing, but he has synthetic baby formula. So he's got all these things lining up at the same time the shortages are happening. So it's kind of suspicious to me.
Yeah.
And he does talk about population control.
Could you expand on what happened? And was it North Dakota or South Dakota?
North Dakota. Yes, they don't want Gates. They're setting up something where he cannot buy land. I think he actually bought some, but they realized what he was doing. So they're coming back and saying, you have to farm on this land, cattle and everything else. We don't accept, because they know he's doing synthetic foods.
Yep.
They don't want that.
Yep.
And they're threatening.
Yep.
Threatening their livelihood, and you know, they could be the last state for cattle in this country. Who knows? They're a state that fights back. They're no nonsense.
Yes.
It's like Ronald said on the last program, some people are more rugged and self-sustaining than others. They live off the land.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indian pride and everything. So I remember that caller that called in. It was kind of funny about that. Well, I don't see any shortages. And Ronald reported back saying, yeah, you're more self-sufficient than most other states because you're from Montana. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yep.
It's so true.
Yep.
And so a lot of people like in the cities are relying on things coming from, you know, outside of the city, outside of their state maybe. They get their stuff right there, and they're not playing right now. And I'm probably going to see more of that in the future from other states. But this is a like you said, all those acres he owns, he's doing it for a reason. He doesn't do it just to own them. He's doing them for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is the reason. I think this is the answer. And people have talked about this, I've heard before. But if you want to meet with society, he's working on that.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. I know another friend. Yes.
No, I was just going to mention, you all probably remember not too long ago when it was leaked out and wasn't very secret that he was big on, he had a plan with his interest in the condition of the ozone layer of the earth or whatever, that he had a plan to block the sun. Y'all remember hearing about that?
Yeah.
That was
Bill Gates. Exactly. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he gets to do whatever he wants. It kind of makes you angry. It's like you're not God. You don't make that decision. You can't do anything. And the climate change, in my opinion, doesn't. You can't change the climate. You can't destroy the earth. You know, that's not how it works. The earth is self-healing, and it's changing. It's ever changing. Climate's going to change, but you know, it's the same sea levels for years and. I just don't – it's something that – it's an excuse to do things because, it's getting warmer and warmer. We have the coldest winter the next time you turn around.
Right.
And then the sun is the same. It gets a little higher. That's what it does. It changes. So, but the drastic – and you can fix it with money. How is that possible? How can you fix that with money?
It
doesn't make any
sense. It's just a form of taxation.
And then, of course, right. Then you want electric cars, and they require a lot – of petroleum footprint to charge and to make the batteries and everything. So you're not really changing anything. And they're like $60,000 if you want to buy one.
Kevin, you need to say that again, because a lot of people haven't connected those dots yet. You know, it's one of those like, what? You know, it's like, no, it's like, man,
it's just,
sir, when you charge
it's
your
just
car,
like,
you know.
The footprint to make one of those cars is – there's no difference between driving your gas car because the materials that takes the oil and the crude and all that stuff, they all go together. You know, and you have just like windmills, they require oil as well, and it's just gigantic cost. And it's not about you see them catch on fire. I mean, you've seen them.
Yep.
And so that's not just electricity. So there's a lot of things. That aren't as they seem, and you'll never have transportation in the sky. I know they're working on it, you know, without jet engines. It would take you forever to get somewhere. I know they have the technology, they're working, but a big passenger plane, they're not there yet. And that's the climate change hosts, they're the ones flying around in the big giant jets. So, or the private.
Well, I think that I believe the reason why that they're trying to steer everybody toward electric vehicles is because then they can control transportation. Because all you got to do is flip the switch and you can't charge your vehicle.
Oh.
Right.
Boy,
that
is
true.
You just said something, Ronald. Last year we had, and y'all probably heard about that, because I believe, Brother Ronald, you're in Cali, right? You're in Cali?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You're in Cali. Well, and you, maybe you all heard about what we call down here the Great Freeze Out of 2021. Yeah. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have that kind of thing happen in Texas. I mean, periodically, every 5-10 years or so, maybe. But let me tell you something. For about six or seven or eight days or more, San Antonio was shut down. We couldn't heat our homes. We couldn't turn the lights on. We couldn't do anything because the grid, the grid that we use here for San Antonio for electricity, it just went kaput. And it was like, hey, sorry, you know, it's overloaded, and that's and so for 5, 6, 7 days we were in like, you know, 10-15 degree weather with no heat, no, unless you had a fireplace in your house, which is rare in Texas, if you know what I mean. You know, it was crazy. So if anybody wants to get an inkling of what you just said about the control around of electrical grids and those kind of things, all we have to do down here in Texas is think about when that happened. And the heads rolled for that. People lost six-figure jobs. The head of the city public service here in San Antonio, listen, she hurried up and got out of the barn and hit the road after that happened. You know, nobody was pushing her, but she got out of Dodge. It was horrid. So just imagine when you put everything on this electric cars and electric this and electric that. I mean, shoot, we have brown. You know, we're worrying about brownouts right now. We've had several days of 100 degree temperature here in Texas, in San Antonio. And everybody's looking around and saying, oh, okay, when's the brownout coming? You know, so it's like, look, we can't even get through a brownout. And you're talking about people having electric. Come on, you know. Yeah,
they're just trying to control people because more people are free when they rely on the internal combustion engine. And it's I've heard people say, oh, we're running out of oil. I'm told that oil is just like as abundant as the ocean.
Yep.
I don't believe that we're running out of oil. I really don't believe that.
Yep.
They're just trying to control people. Control people's movement.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And tracking and everything.
Agree.
So we actually had a book in Texas at that time that you're talking about, that period, and the artist that was working on it could not complete the job, among other things. So that affected us. I slowed our book down maybe for about 2 or 3 weeks. So it's one of
wow.
So, and we couldn't do anything about it. I mean, it wasn't going to happen because everything was backed up that he had. But yeah, and so the economy runs on oil and gas, and we have trucks and truckers. And now we have disasters coming because the DEF, there's a shortage of DEF diesel oil, diesel additives.
Exactly. Yeah, that's most concerning because the food we eat, the clothes we wear, we go to the stores, everything's brought in by truck someplace.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I highly respect truckers. My brother was a trucker he motorized for more than 1 million accident-free miles during his trucking career.
Whoa.
So, I highly respect my brother and other truckers who know how to put their trailer right in between that docking bay where there's a couple inches on each side. Man, not everybody can do that.
Right.
So, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, it's being brought in by truck. And when you're talking about scarcity or dwindling supply of those kind of lubricants, be it diesel fuel or whatever, that makes the trucks run, that transport the clothes and food to us, that's a big problem.
And all of a sudden there's a shortage. All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, another shortage.
Yep.
But they have plenty of
masks.
Plenty of masks.
Yep. And consider, brothers. Look, let's not fool ourselves. Through the whole of all of these quote unquote ordeals, and for the foreseeable future, the elite and the rich and those, they're always going to have gasoline and oil,
right,
and diesel and baby formula and diet. They're gonna always have access to that stuff. Always. So it's the middle class, the lower middle class, those are the people that are going to be scared and choked out. But I would just think about that. Do you think a Nancy Pelosi and Paul Pelosi are going
right.
to be short of gasoline ever? Heck no.
Never.
No.
No.
You know what?
You know,
But gentlemen, we are gentlemen and men of faith. I believe that whatever the enemy does in trying to take away our food and trying to do this and that, we read about the miracles in the Bible, how God provided manna. How many years to the Hebrew did he provide manna? 40 plus years?
Yeah.
They're walking around, even though they were under judgment, they're walking around and the shoes didn't wear out. I mean, so we're going to be seeing and hearing testimonies of miracles, of food being manifested, of our we could be out in the middle of nowhere, and our gas needle indicates that we're empty, but our vehicles will still be running. So even though we're talking about bad news and stuff like that, I want to be able to encourage people that God is going to take care of his own.
Amen.
And if we abide
right.
in Psalm 91, and if we put on the armor in Ephesians 6:10, God's going to take care of us.
Good.
Now, that doesn't mean that we don't prep and prepare. God took care of
right.
Noah after he prepped. God took care of Joseph after 7 years of amassing grain and all these places where they store grain for Egypt
yep.
and the people of God. They
yeah.
did stuff like that to prep, but there were miracles after that as well. So I just wanted to encourage your listeners.
Good
well, thank you. I'd like to have positive on that.
Yep.
And we'd all be riding bikes, right?
Nothing wrong with that, man. I got me a bike.
We know one guy who can't ride a bike.
Oh yeah, yeah, we do know one. Yeah, heaven help him. You know, can't not only can't ride it, but the most dangerous part for him is standing still on a bike.
Yeah,
like,
that didn't make any sense. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
No, that was, and then everybody, the cameras pulled away at that point. Most of them didn't show that part. They just cut it off.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see him on the ground, but I it's too bad he fell, but he's already stopped. You know, I don't know. It's kind of a little different. Maybe he forgot what he was doing. Maybe, who knows? I didn't mention his name or anything, but
you're
talking about
good.
Yeah. So what about this? What do you guys think about this Supreme Court ruling recently? And
Pastor, we're looking
at
go first,
pick.
Man.
Well, Ronald, you're gracious, bro. I appreciate that. But I'll tell you this, and I won't be long, because I know you can say a lot too. I will say this: at the beginning of the pandemic, if you will, 2020, February, March, lady walked up to me, and a woman walked up to me and asked me, Pastor Hall, she said, what do you think is going on? What do you think is happening here? And you know, I'm not one of those guys. I mean, praise God for the ones who have that legitimate gift of word of knowledge and those kind of things. But and I'm not one of those. But immediately out of my mouth came purging and exposure. She said, really? Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, purging and exposure. And I'm telling you what. This Supreme Court decision, you know, I've heard, y'all probably heard all kind of things too. I've heard now people are, of course, have railed against the Supreme Court justices, and they're crooked and they're this and they're illegitimate and all kind of things. And I even in our Bible study last night, I even had a lady that said that she was privy to a theory that said that the reason that the Supreme Court did what they did concerning Roe versus Wade was because white folk are scared, and Roe versus Wade, or the striking down of it, gives white people a chance to reproduce properly, because the population of Caucasians is going down. And so that's another theory of the theories that are out there. But but what people don't understand or don't want to understand is that, listen, man, and I think, Ronald, you said it as eloquently as anybody could when you gave the encouragement. What God is showing us, brothers, is that man ultimately doesn't run anything. He thinks he does, but he doesn't run anything. If there's not a devout Christian on the Supreme Court, as a justice of the Supreme Court, the Lord God can turn not only the head of the king, but he can turn the heads of people on the Supreme Court whenever he gets ready to. You know, and right. do the things, and I think that's part of what we witnessed with that ruling, that God was saying, okay, I'm kind of tired of this. I'm going to do something here. Let me read this, and then I'm going to give it over to Ronald. I could say a ton of stuff, but I follow this young lady. She's out of Atlanta, and she's just a strong Christian lady, and smart as a whip, and just great. Her name is Sierra Leilani is her name, and she wrote this that I think was Friday. It happened on a Friday, right? Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote this on that Friday. She says, you know what really just happened today, right? She says, the Lord pulled the veil all the way back. Now you know who's for the Lord and who's for Molech. No question. The inventory is being done even now. She says, whose side are you on? We're about to find out. And, gentlemen, I'm telling you, the girl hit it right on the head, because we've got people, as y'all well know, we've got so-called church folk, I call them the institutional church folk, that are angry that Roe versus Wade was struck down. And they go to church every Sunday, some of these people. Like, you're angry? You're angry about there are going to be more babies that are going to live? You're angry about that? And you call yourself a believer? Exposure. So there's all kind of exposure and all kind of things going on. I could name names, but I'm going to follow my brother Kevin's suit and not do that. But a prominent bishop in the black church, he jumped right up and mouthed off about, I can't believe the Supreme Court did this and that, and I can't believe it. Now you're going to have these little girls' uncles and stuff going free, and these little girls' incestuous daddies going free. And, I mean, this is a bishop of a church, you know. So you probably can see where I sit on that, or where I am on that. Jeremiah 1:5 says, when I formed you, before I put you in the womb, I knew you. That should tell somebody something about the sanctity of life. If God is saying to us in Jeremiah, listen, before you were formed, before I put you in your mama's belly, I knew you. Well, doesn't that say something? Doesn't that say how precious and holy and sanctified life is? So how can we treat it like? Do y'all know we don't even do dogs like that? We don't even do dogs like, you know what? This is inconvenient, so we're going to go up into the family German Shepherd and just snatch the head off of all the little puppies in the womb and just pull them on out. We don't even do dogs like that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you know.
You're right.
But here we are, and people have a problem, and it's all selfish. It's all self-centered, you know. It's all because you want your convenience in place. That's what
Absolutely.
I have to say right now.
that's okay. Well, Mr. Owens.
Yeah, there's so many words mean something, and we have used and said the word abortion so much, we really don't know what that means. I'm talking about we collectively. I'm not talking about Pastor Hall. I'm not talking about Kevin White. Maybe some
listeners.
I call abortion premeditated prenatal murder because that's what it is.
You're right.
I define premeditated prenatal murder as the chemical burning, crushing, dismembering, liquefying, vacuuming, retrieving, reassembling, because after that baby is flushed out, they have to reassemble it to make sure that all the parts are there.
Yep.
Selling, shipping, manufacturing, distributing, using, and profiting of baby body parts. And Pastor, when you said that if puppies were chemically burned, crushed, dismembered, liquefied, vacuumed, retrieved, reassembled, sold, shipped, manufactured, distributed, and used and profited from, there would be justifiable outrage with
yes,
people.
Sir.
All of us
yes,
would be
sir.
Up in arms about how we're treating those puppies.
Yes,
but
sir.
That's what we do to preborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
yes.
not because it's a woman's right to choose. It's a $1 billion industry. Planned Parenthood is a slush fund for the Democrat Party. Pharmaceutical companies make a lot of money from abortion. As a matter of fact, just conservative estimates alone, they can make $2,300 per one aborted baby. It's a big business.
Wow.
That's why the corporations are all up in arms about it. That's why the Democratic Party politicians are bothered by it, because that's their slush fund to finance campaign. Insofar as the church, they probably have a lot of church members sleeping with other church members, and in order to hide that sin,
you better say it.
They
quietly
go to the abortion clinic. Yeah.
You better say it. You better say it. People don't realize, and forgive me for interrupting you, Ronald, but you're right on it. People don't even realize how many out of the back door of the church abortions have been paid for because a church member was with another church member, or an associate pastor or a pastor was with a church. People don't even know. People don't even know.
You know, I had a conversation with Walter Hoy. Walter Hoy was a pro-life activist. Matter of fact, he served time in Alameda County Jail about 5-10 years ago for protesting in front of an abortion clinic. I think it was in Oakland, California.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Walter and I were at some sort of pro-life event at a church in Oakland, and we were talking about abortion. And I asked him, and specifically about the 1,400 to 1,700 black babies aborted every day. So I asked him, I says, why is abortion rampant in the black community? And he said, Ron, because it's in the black church. And then he broke it on down, just like you said, Pastor, when you said you've got the pastor sleeping with the secretary, you've got the choir director sleeping with the choir member, you've got you got a parishioner on one side of the pew sleeping with somebody else on the other side of the pew, and basically you've got all this illicit sexual activity going on in the church, and it really shouldn't be surprised because the Apostle Paul addressed in Galatians 5 the 17 works of the flesh, and that's one of them, fornication.
Yep. Yes, sir. You mentioned Walter Hoy. I was going to say, Kevin, mentioned Walter Hoy, a beautiful, good friend of mine, which y'all may know, and y'all may have told me y'all already knew him. He's at home with the Lord now. Pastor Bruce Rivers out of California. He loved Walter
Bruce?
Hoy, and he went on about a year and a half ago. He's at home with the Lord now. But yeah, he talked very deeply about Walter Hoy. So I was pleased to hear you mention his name.
Yeah, Walter and his wife Lori, they have been on the forefront on the abortion fight for years, and I last talked to Bruce about 2-3 years ago, and I didn't know he went on to be the Lord.
He talking about a buddy of mine, and he drove from California all the way to Texas to drop a vehicle off to one of his daughters in Houston. And man, he made it a point to come through San Antonio and see me, because we would talk on the phone all the time, but we never had seen each other. He came through, we went out, we had a meal, we went back to the church and just talked and laughed and talked. And I'll send you a photo of that, he and I. But he was talking about a beautiful guy, but he loved him some Walter Hoy.
Yeah, yeah.
What a coincidence. So I want to, here's the thing. This is really up to the states. It's really not. I don't think it should be, you know, more than anything would be the states. But this is not in the enumerated rights of the federal government, and they should not have even touched this back in 73 or whenever that happened, the abortion ruling. So our government has overstepped their bounds already, and so now we have this big mess on our hands where people think, you know, that it's the Christians that are doing this. And like you said about the church people, the black, you know, the blacks, black neighborhoods, blacks they get abortions more than anybody else. 30% of abortions are done on blacks.
Yep.
And they're 13% of the population. And a lot of those abortion clinics are in black neighborhoods, or right on the edge.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they're trying. That's what they're doing. And that's Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger, she wants to get rid of all the blacks, which she did. And it's kind of funny because I listen to old-time radio, like you probably do, old TV, and one of the guys says, I haven't heard anything this good since a speech by Margaret Sanger. And it's like, what? What?
Wow.
That was back in the 40s. Then there was another show I was watching, and it was talking about, and then I, as a detective, then I patted the Negro on the head. You know, that stuff happened back then, right?
Yep.
People didn't know, probably didn't know who she was, what she was up to, what she was doing. But we do know now, and it's so blatant, it's out in the open. People are going, losing their minds because of this abortion ruling, saying they can't get one. You can get one. You can drive to another state if you decide in your state.
Yep.
This is not about the federal government. This is about individual rights. And I hate to say state rights, because they're talking about between life and death. And a lot of these people, I believe, are frivolous. They do these abortions. They're not really needed. They're just convenience. Or, like you said, they got somebody pregnant. And is it worth it? Is it worth it? I mean, you could say rape would be one, but at the same time, there's a lot of women out there that carry the raped child and raise them as their own.
Yep.
Because they see the value. And you never know. You never know what that child's going to grow up to be, or who they can change, whose lives they can change. So
you're preaching. You're preaching now. I'm taking up the offering because you are preaching, and you're sure right.
No, that's your job.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying, we just don't know. You have no idea. Like when the baby is put on a little boat and it floats down in Egypt, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know it's going to turn into Moses. I mean, they could have killed the baby, aborted, whatever, but they didn't. So there's a lot of consequences when you talk about a life.
Yes, sir.
There's no way you can determine this, you know, with a straight mind or anything. You can't make these decisions, but there's like an automatic. It's automatic. Oh, if you get pregnant, just go here. That's the choice you have, right?
Yeah.
It's the choice. When you have a lot of choices, then you take those choices. That's the problem.
I'm reading a short list, Kevin, of people, and it's a longer list, and it's people, famous people who were conceived by rape or bore a child out of rape. At the top of this list is Eartha Kitt was born out of rape. Jesse Jackson was conceived out of statutory rape.
Really?
Some of these people I'm not familiar with. Nell Carter. I don't know if y'all remember Nell Carter. Nell Carter. She gave birth from a rape, and she was conceived from rape. Ethel Waters, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
She was Ethel Waters. She was born October 31st, 1896, as a result of the rape of her teenage mother. And the list goes on and on and on of people who were products of rape. So as you said, Kevin, you know, and I said this in our Bible study last night. Somebody sees like you don't know if you're talking thinking about rape abortion. You don't know who you're about to kill. You just don't know. Okay.
And Pastor, remember you guys, Kathy Barnett. She was one of the candidates who ran in the Republican primary in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
She's got a very powerful testimony and a book.
Yeah. And a book.
But, her mom, that she was conceived and raped.
That's certainly right. That's certainly right.
And matter of fact, that rape or incest, that's less than 1%. I am not trying to diminish, you know, what happens to a woman if she's raped or incest, but that is usually the major, that's what they throw up as the reason that's the standard. But I asked the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center several years ago, why do women get an abortion? 75% because their baby would interfere with their lives. 75%. 66% because of money. 50% because relationship with dad is not good. 4% because of medical reasons of the mother. 1% because of fetal abnormalities, and 1% because of rape or incest. So 75% is the major reason why that women get an abortion is because, as you stated, Pastor, selfishness. The baby would interfere in their lives.
Yep. Amen. That's just the truth. And I had a Brother Ron, I had a higher statistic than that as far as I have, this is from the Guttmacher Institute, and they do the stats supposedly for Planned Parenthood. So these are the stats from the Guttmacher Institute. They say 92.33% of abortions are elective or for no reason. Yeah, 92.33%. And then they go on to give similar numbers that you've given.
Yeah, see, that's interesting because that is like the national, so that's a larger picture than what the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center told me. That's like the local picture. So that national picture from Guttmacher, that's that's something else right there.
Yes. Yes. And these other numbers are just, according to them, the Guttmacher Institute, 0.001% of abortions are from the pregnancy resulted from an incestuous relationship.
Whoa.
0.065%. Yeah. 0.065%. 0.065% was where the woman's life was endangered by the pregnancy. 0.065. 0.085% was where the woman was raped. 0.28.
But at the same time, you have to put yourself in the eyes of the woman because it's a traumatic experience, or she doesn't want anything to do. So sometimes you got to consider that.
You're right. Sure.
Because it's a horrific thing to happen.
And I've heard that, I'm not up on this, but I've heard that when in those situations, though it's not talked of a whole lot, but if a girl gets to the hospital and says I've been raped, there are a few immediate steps that can be taken to where it's like within that hour or two or three, bam, it's done, it's gone. You know, DNC, you know, even before there, I mean, that same day, it's like they can go in and it's like it's done, it's gone, you know. So it's something to just consider and know, you know.
You know, something else I want to mention, I know we focus on the women, I understand that, but abortion has hurt men. There are a lot of men who have wanted to have their baby, but they were denied the choice. And I think we need to recognize and acknowledge that other side of the equation. Those men are just as victims as their preborn child, and as their wife, significant other, girlfriend, whatever, because I believe that those women are victims as well, victims to the system. Yes, they made the choice to become victims, but I just wanted to focus on the men. There are many men who wanted their babies, but they were denied choice.
My body, my choice, right?
Yes.
By the way,
right. By the way, Ronald and Kevin, my good sweet friend Bruce Rivers, Ronald, he was one of those men. You know, he talked to me more than once about looking back on the babies who were disposed of. Because, you know, at the time he was young and they were young, but through his life, you know, some of the things, the rendezvous he had in his life. And as a result, he would tell me, and he would tell others too, that he says, I don't have a natural offspring. You know, he had children, you know, through marriage and whatever, but they weren't his biological children. And the reason is because of situations where there were some he was like, okay, well, and then there was one or two that he was like, wait a minute, and what you just described happened to him.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know how many and can't name them, but there are ministries that do minister to men who are going through that pain. I just wanted to make mention of that. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, we're going to switch something. Have you guys, anybody here seen the Buzz Lightyear movie yet? Are you going to see it? Probably not.
Nope.
You guys.
I can't
speak
on that.
Okay, so this is supposed to be the big Pixar movie, and it was a flop. Why was it a flop? And this contains other things as well. It's a big flop because it was a woke Buzz Lightyear. And there's some kind of girl-girl kissing in there. And this is a children's movie. And Disney lost a lot of money. I think they spent $200 million for production, and they only made like $40 million. I can't remember the exact numbers. But it goes to show you, and they took the scene out originally, and now they put it back in. So, and this kind of goes along with, you know, Pride Month. We have Pride Month. It's a long month, and that's all I heard, and it eclipsed everything else. I'm trying to say is I respect people who want to do that. The majority of the people in this country do not want to see that, and that's just proved by this Buzz Lightyear movie and how it flopped.
Yep.
And how the Pride Month, it does turn people off because the natural state of man is not that. So, and but the population is what, 3%, maybe less than that. And they're pushing this. You see it on TV all the time. They got to have one of the characters or one of the hosts has to be gay. Game shows, somebody has to be gay on there. Two people. It's getting more and more, and then people have to be mixed couples. They're putting this stuff in front of us all the time. And, you know, I rarely watch TV, but when I do see things, it's like, who is that guy? What's he doing? It's so flamboyant that's not natural. You don't see animals doing that.
Nope.
It's not natural, but it's a choice. Everything's a choice now, right? Everything has options that shouldn't be there. So I want your take on that because – and you know, in other countries, you get killed for this kind of behavior. They shouldn't have that. I mean, this shouldn't happen here. I'm just saying this, and they're giving choices to kids in school, school-age kids. And they're making them dress, and they have the reading time with. That's incredible. That's incredible. We've fallen that far that we have those kind of people teaching their kids and showing them pornography in their school books. I saw that down in Florida, and they have it like it's all over the country. There are things, men and women, they teach men and men together, boys and boys, girls and girls, or the boy becomes a girl or the girl becomes a boy. They have choices. You can be whatever you want. This is so perverted. I think things got worse during the pandemic. And I want your thoughts on this. And I'm not putting anybody down or for what they believe or what they do. I'm just saying this is not normal behavior. They're trying to make it normal. So the next generation, I fear for what they decide to do, what they do, based on what they learn.
I agree. I'll be very quick, because I certainly want to hear what Ronald has to say on this. But I was just talking to a lady. She and I communicate a lot on Messenger. She is a minister out of the DFW area. And I don't know. Now, another thing that I'm going to miss, and I have missed the new light year entry. But another thing that I missed, I a couple of things, was the did any of y'all catch the latest BET award show here a couple of nights ago?
Mm-hmm.
It was all if you didn't see all of it, I can tell that y'all felt the way I felt. It was just outlandish. But there were a couple of things I saw on there from men and women. It was crazy. But she brought this up. She said, Pastor Hall, she said, have you ever considered for some, whatever reason, I don't know how accurate this is, so y'all can speak to this, but she said it, and it's at least a little bit accurate. She said, you know, all these people, you know, they came, you know, and took the pictures at the BET Awards, all these, you know, these guys dressed like women and painted up like women, and these women that were painted up like guys. She said, have you ever noticed? She said, I'm just going to say it like she said it to me. She said, white folk don't do a lot of that on TV. They just don't. And I thought about that. You know, she said when they have award shows and this and that and whatever, you know, the Oscars or whatever the case may be. She said, "Have you noticed? You don't see a lot of white folk parading around, painted up and dressed up. You know, white Caucasian men painted up and dressed up like women, or Caucasian women painted and dressed up like men." And I had to think about that. I said, I don't know how super accurate that is, but you know, as I think about it, you're probably right. And then she went into. What happened to us as a people? What has happened to our children? What have we done to our children? What happened to the last generation? You know, when you have the Billy Porters and those, but, I mean, you know, they are full-fledged wearing $1,000 dresses, and they're men. She said, what happened to us?
Yeah.
So
I think what happened with us answering that question has to do with the divide and conquer of the black family.
Mm.
Where after the Great Society of Johnson, where they incentivized women having kids and having the husband be the government, and then you create fatherless homes, men with no responsibility. We got fragmented families. We've got a lot of good black families, but there's a lot of our young people who have been raised on the street, raising each other, and thank God for strong black women who have, a lot of them have been the mother and the father, but a lot of them haven't been able to raise good children as well. We've got to be honest and look at what's going on in our own community. What kind of angers me is that the white left has and will continue to use the black community to advance their agenda.
Man,
and
you're preaching.
That's,
wow.
That's what's going on here. They are using black people to advance the LGBTQ agenda. And so they use these black people, sports stars like Dwayne Wade or this Porter guy. I didn't watch
Billy Porter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Billy Porter. I didn't watch the BET thing, but I have seen pictures, and that's why I kind of reacted when you talked about the BET, because I remember seeing those images, and you can't unsee that.
No.
You just can't unsee some of those horrific, outlandish. But it's the agenda, and these black people are being used by the white liberal media, whatever you want to call them, and it's enraging. It really is. It really is, because that's not the black community.
Mm-mm.
That is not. They're trying to tell us that we're into LGBTQ and gender fluidity, and yes, there are some black people who are into that, but for the most part, that's not our community. That's not any community.
No.
Really.
No.
I don't know what city that was. I was watching, very few occasions I watched Newsmax, but I turned on Newsmax last night, and Eric Bolling, he was profiling a, quote, pride parade, and these nude guys were riding bicycles in a circle, and they blurred their private, and you had these kids that were watching.
Mm.
That is just, that's
incredible.
Just, it is. It's again, I use the word, it's enraging. That's child abuse. That really is, to take those kids there anyway, and then to have them subject themselves to seeing naked men ride around circles on their bicycles. And I was so enraged, I didn't remember what city that was. But that was reported last night on Newsmax.
Oh, okay. Well, here's my point. Here's the whole thing. If you want to choose that lifestyle as an adult, that's one thing. But when you indoctrinate the kids, that's a whole other story. This is what I have a problem with. So I respect the people who want to do that. Go right ahead and do it. But, you know, let the kids make their own choice. And they're pushing these kids into options that they don't need to know about. You know, you're going to give this three-year-old this class and decide whether they want to be, the other sex, but everything else, you have to be an adult, 18 years old, to vote and do everything. That's a little more tricky there, and the kids are confused because they're at that age.
You know,
they're getting really young. Yes, they are.
Can I interject something?
Sure.
Let me interject something right quick, because I emphatically agree with you. We all know, according to God, according to the Bible, according to biology, homosexuality is wrong. That being said, like you said, if it's between consenting adults, fine. That's between you and God. You got to deal with that. Let kids be kids. The point I was trying to make is I knew of a gay couple, and I socialized with them on several occasions, and because they knew where we came from, but they were opposed to the radical indoctrination just like we are. So I'm saying that there are a lot of gay people. We don't know how many. They're ideologically in the closet, but they're just upset at this indoctrination of kids as we are. And I think that's a point that needs to be made, that all gay people don't agree with this radicalization, this indoctrination, this exhibitionism with kids. They're just opposed to it as we are. They believe kids need to be kids and let them make their decisions themselves rather than the mainstream media and Hollywood and BET Awards and these parades trying to cram the lifestyle down their throats. They're opposed to it as well.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I've got a video, and I'm glad to show it to you. I saved it, of this of a Caucasian drag queen man speaking eloquently and strongly, just like you described, Ronald. And apparently took his own phone and just recorded this thing. He says, let me tell you something, and I'm glad to share this with y'all if I can. Mm-hmm. But he says, look, I work in a club where you know, there's drag queen dancing going on and this and this and that. He said, let me tell you something right now. There's all kind of salacious, ugly things that go on in here. There's sexual things. There's money being passed. There's drugs being passed. There's all kind of stuff. He says, let me tell you, this is no place for a child. He said, if you're bringing your child, and I mean, there he is in his makeup. He says, if you're bringing your child up in places like this, he said, look, not only are you hurting your child, he said, but you're hurting us. He said, us drag queens who just want to do, we want to do us. We don't want to be hurting no kids, and we don't want any kids in here. And we don't want society looking at us like we are just total perverts. He said, when you bring your kids into this, it makes us look like super perverts. You know, it was fascinating to see. And I say,
yeah, that is fascinating. Yeah, that is fascinating.
Yeah. Could you do us a favor, Pastor? Could you share that link? You know, where in the comment section where Kevin and whoever did that poster did a great job. That was a great poster. It was done so quickly. But if you can paste the link of that in the comment section, that would be great. I'd like to see that.
Sure. I sure will.
Yeah. And also the link of this particular show, are you going to be able to make that available?
It is on the promo. You see that on the page. That's that.
Okay.
C0BTR.com number that stays there forever.
Okay.
So we want to move a little bit. We're going to go right into the monkeypox. Did you know there are 2 cases in Ohio and Columbus of the monkeypox? But my question is, where are the monkeys? And other countries that have these problems, they get them from monkeys. They don't get it from, like, the, you know, Massachusetts, they said it was homosexual activity, but you know, that would be everywhere then. I don't see it spreading. So I have a problem. I think this is kind of strange because I remember that truck that was that overturned in Pennsylvania with a bunch of monkeys on it, and the woman got sick for helping out. Is this the same group of monkeys? I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. This is kind of weird. So, and it's coming from Africa. How do they know? Everything comes from Africa. You can't get it unless you're exposed to a monkey. That's what I thought. It has nothing to do with homosexuality. It's all about exposure. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is kind of strange. Now, how did those guys get that pox? And somebody was talking about pox. Oh, yeah, it was Bill Gates. Pox eruption. He said smallpox at the time. But this doesn't seem right. So this is why, and it's the same as the coronavirus. It's gone, but there are a lot of people where I work that have it right now, have a variant of it. But the news isn't talking about it much. But you guys will love this because I think what the president actually says, he's providing enough vaccines for the next 5 or so years. Well, pandemics don't last that long. So all this stuff isn't making any sense. So I want your take on it.
I'm listening to you all because I'm looking at it from afar. I know that it's real, but as far as how it's being generated or how it's being it's like I don't know anybody that has any little bit of monkeypox. So I'm just kind of watching and looking, and I'm just seeing how far this thing is going to go. So I'm listening to you all right now.
So if you
– I can't speak
about – I can give
you
the cure right now if you wanted it. I can give you guys the cure.
What's
the natural
that?
Cure is going to be purpurea / echinacea. Purpurea, P-U-R-P-U-R-E-A. And that works for smallpox and monkeypox. And that's what the Indians use, that plant. To get rid of, and the Native Indians, Native Americans, that's what they use. So you can get wisdom from other cultures, and that's what they treat. That's one of the things you can treat. But I'm sure they're going to come out with something else that mRNA based. I'm sure. This is like so easy to see this. It's a slow ball coming a mile away. So That's just my own theory, not saying it's true, but there, that's the solution. They're making diabetes insulin. They're going to change that to mRNA. They're going to change the flu vaccines to mRNA, which doesn't seem to be working very well, but, you know, what do I know?
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor. That's what they say. You're not a doctor. You don't know. Doctors don't know everything.
Yeah.
So
also not biologists, but we're not biologists, but we know, we always know what a woman is. So.
Oh, touché.
You know?
Yeah. I got to take my hat off to that one.
Yeah.
Tell.
So, you know,
go
figure.
I like that.
By the way, whatever happened to Judge Jackson?
Oh, I don't know. Was she in on the ruling?
Whatever happened to her?
Well, I'm wondering. That's a good question because, you know, was it Brenner that announced his retirement date today? Was that what she was waiting on for him to return?
Yeah, but I don't know, man. They had the hearings and whatever happened to her?
I think they approved her, but the person that she was going to take the place of, I assumed, and y'all straighten me out. I might be wrong, but just today I heard that there is a justice that just announced a retirement date. So in my mind, I thought, maybe that's what they were waiting on, and maybe that's when she's going to get plugged in when he officially retires.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that, but that's what I'm thinking.
It says, I'm just reading it, it would take months for her to take her seat. So, yeah. Anthony Kennedy.
Okay.
Is leaving. He looks pretty bad.
Yeah,
he's been there a long time.
Yeah, Justice Stephen Breyer to officially retire Thursday at noon. And that's when they're supposed to swear in Kentaji Brown Jackson.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Breyer,
yeah. Yeah, but what a great addition. You know, anyway. Brother Kevin, where you did that great graphic for the show tonight, I went on there and I plugged in that link for that guy I was talking about. Yeah, so that's in the comments there.
You like that graphic?
Okay.
I love making those.
Yeah.
You made it. Ronald, you look particularly debonair.
Well, yeah, he made us both look better.
Yeah, we look better though.
No touch.
You know what,
okay.
Pastor, you know what you're doing? You're leaning down. You're leaning to the right. You notice that?
Yes. Yes. Funny how that happened, huh?
No, I tried to make them even and everything, and it worked out perfect because I can erase the background and I can make you guys look great. I took your best. And by the way, Pastor, you don't have many pictures of you by yourself. It's always somebody with you. So I look really hard for that. But that's good.
I usually do, but I'll send you a couple more for when we do another show as the Righteous Judge.
Sure.
We do another show, I'll show you one. Because, listen, on this one, it's a beautiful graphic, but listen, I have to tell you, Ronald upstaged me, man. He looks good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to see another picture.
Did you not? I mean, you both look good.
Ronald's
got the author pose.
Yeah.
So.
Well, sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I'm thinking, I can see why I'm single. And then I then I look at that picture, and my brother-in-law, he took that picture. He's a professional photographer. And I said, well, the Lord did a good job creating me.
You're a nice-looking guy. Come on now. I need some words.
No, I like your that sophisticated look.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take it. I'll just take it.
Yeah, that little lean pose is pretty nice.
Thank you, now. Thank
you.
You
know, next time you do that, you know what? You should be in the middle, actually, Kevin. You can move that tonight. You can move that tonight at 7 p.m. down and put you in the middle. That would be good.
Okay.
That'll work.
Yeah.
But it's not about me, okay? It's about you two.
Well,
it's about the guests.
All right, all right. Well,
but, you know,
I mean, you,
I can't
you, you
do
can
that.
Put, you can put it like, you can put like the Righteous Brothers and have all three of us there.
Oh, that's easy to do. I can make, I can whip that up real quick.
That's an idea.
Like 5 minutes.
That's an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
guys. Well, I need to, excuse me, I need to bow out, but it's been really nice.
Hey, no problem.
And
I could just end the show right here. Oh, no, thanks for coming on. And so I appreciate you coming and joining us. And
honor and a pleasure.
Like I
honor
said.
Honor and a pleasure.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you can leave or whatever, or we can just end the show right here. I appreciate both of you showing up, coming on.
Well,
I love having you, Kevin.
Don't end the show on my account. I just have to bow out. Don't end the show on my account.
Well,
I'm just
people's time
out, okay?
is valuable. It's okay. People's time is valuable, and it's been an hour and a half. So I want to respect both of your times and let you guys go, if that's okay, unless you want to still talk.
No, well, no, I think that's good, and I think what as the Lord says the same, we can with you as our captain, Kevin, we can just do it again someday, you know,
because you know what, both of you have all this knowledge and experience, and when Ronald brings out these stats out of the middle of nowhere, it's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. You have a really good, you have a lot going on, and then Pastor's experience and the people he knows and everything. You guys know the mutual person. That's incredible. But I appreciate you.
I was touched about Bruce Rivers.
That's all that matters.
Beautiful, beautiful man. Yeah, yeah. And he was too. You know what I mean? And now, you know, he's enjoying the Lord now. What a great guy. At any rate, I've enjoyed this, Kevin. Thank you for inviting me. And anything that y'all are doing, I'm glad to be a part of. So to you and Brother Ronald, my astute brothers, very astute brothers, God bless you and keep you. And may he make his face to shine upon you and yours.
Amen.
That's awesome.
I plead that prayer.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Thanks for being a guest on the American Legion Show. And we will see you around again.
Amen.
Much appreciated.
Right. God bless. We'll see
goodbye.
You again soon.
And goodbye, listeners.
Yes, goodbye, listeners. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye. All right. So that's the end of the show right now. The American Legion Show, Mr. Ronald F. Owens, Jr., and Pastor Ronson Hall. So I think Ronald F. Owens lives in California, and Pastor Hall actually lives in San Antonio. And I met him through a mutual friend, and we've been friends here ever since. And then Mr. Ronald F. Owens is an author. And I've done a lot of, I've read some of his books. He's got great stuff, so look that up. Where can you reach him? Ronald F. Owens, Jr. And you'll see him. He's got his own book. I can't remember what. Anyway, great stuff to read. Great guys. Very insightful. Staff right off the top of their heads. Incredible. Incredible. So next week, we're going to have an economic expert, Mr. Chad Goldenberg, where he's going to talk about, my producer is saying that is not true. It's the week after. We're going to have, Keisha Pickens Jackson. She's our latest author, Browning Fox Publishing. Thank you, Mr. Producer. I have to have somebody here to keep me straight. Otherwise, I just go ahead and invite the guy. So he was scheduled for today, and I had to get some last second guests, which is not easy. Not easy to do. And hopefully he will be on the week after. So, Keisha Pickens-Jackson, she wrote the book called, what's the book called again? Trash. I'm sorry. I'm breaking up. So, My Dreams Fried, Trash, a Foster Child Life. Is that right? What's the name of the book? Can you read that for me? Okay, gotcha. So anyway, that's what's coming next week. Look forward to that. Beautiful book. It's something like Hotcakes by BrownieFoxPublishing.com. BrownieFoxPublishing.com. And it was number four on Amazon when it came out for like a whole week. And we want to share that. And possibly, you know, add other artists, of course, other authors in the future. But right now, I'm going to say goodbye. And we're going to – we have like 9 minutes left, but there's nothing to talk about. Maybe we already discussed everything. Maybe I want to open this up sometime and have the guests or have people from just calls only. I think that's interesting. It could also be dangerous because you don't know who's on the other end sometimes. Sometimes people get a little rowdy. And people from other states, you can't identify or even you have no clue who they are. Sometimes, and that's why you have a producer, you have somebody to screen your calls. Otherwise, it's a dangerous game. I've seen that happen before. So you got to, I don't know, there's not that much of a delay. It can be a little dangerous. So sometimes you have some shows that I actually call into, other networks, they, there's like, I could get a whole thing out, a little, my little spiel and speech, and they can hang up. And it's not even broadcast yet. It just starts. I could be on like 2 minutes, and then 2 minutes later, I show up because they have a long delay. I'm not sure this works this way. I'm sure the delay is really small, but you have to be careful. So this is a little more tricky here. That's why the producer, even though it goes to the producer, the engineer, doesn't mean they're going to act like they are acting to them. Because I hear about that sometimes. You see that some other places on the bigger networks. If you call to talk about this, and you're talking about that. So we have to be careful. So at all open lines is risky. I'll just say that. So I don't know if I'll do it or not, but it sounds like a lot of fun. Some of the callers we get from all over the country and different perspectives, different ideas. They're not, some people aren't experiencing things, same things that we are here, or I am in Ohio or other bigger towns. They don't see the same thing. So it's interesting to see what they think. And also, I'd like to do a show on truckers. Truckers, I know a couple of truckers that I'd like to invite. See this side of the story because of the shortages of the DFE or whatever it is, the additive that you're supposed to have for diesel fuel and how much it costs for them, what kind of margins they're operating on now delivering things. Is it worth it? Is it worth doing the job? Are people shutting down? What's it like on the road in this this economy with all this inflation? That would be a very interesting show. That would be something I think a lot of people would enjoy hearing, seeing. It's just the same thing as airline pilots. I know some airline pilots I can invite on and ask them the same thing. Or people from that industry, what's it like? You know, because we're having a crisis right now with shortage of pilots for some reason. And people can't get where they want. And you see this on the news a lot, but the pandemic is over. So what's the difference? We'll look into that. We'll find out why this is happening. So thanks, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the American Allegiance Show. Thank you so much. And have a good night. God bless America.